Our Father and our God, we thank you because we can indeed say that you are always very present in time of need and in time of trouble, and you're never late. And we give you glory and praise. To God be the honor, to God be the praise. Now, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be on here this morning. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our God, always present in trouble and in time of need and never late. That's right. Just a reminder. We know these things, but just a reminder. Today's lesson is titled, Our God. Always present in trouble and in time of need and is never late. Praise the Lord. Now, we'll just share some scriptures which we already know. And just as a reminder, the main truth behind this subject today is that our God is ever present, very present. Very present indicates that, you know, he's always there. Always there. You know, in time of trouble, in time of need. Scriptures that give us that kind of comfort. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want to talk about that present help a little bit today. You know, a very present help. Psalm 121, the one we sang. My help cometh from the Lord, verses 1 and 2, which made heaven and earth. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. Glory to God. You know, we will obtain mercy. We'll find grace to help from him at all times. Now, God is not far off. And, you know, it's not like we need to wake him up. You know, when we pray, his ears are not deaf. That is, you know, hand is, not that his hands shortened. You know, the Lord is always present. And he won't be delayed either. There's nothing that can delay him. I mean, things can delay us because, you know, we're not omnipotent like the Lord. I mean, you can say, well, I'll be there in 30 minutes. And an hour and a half later, you are still not there because you got caught in traffic, which you didn't know would delay you that long. You know, but if the Lord says, I'll be there in 30 minutes, he'll be there in 30 minutes because there's nothing that can delay him. You know, and that's the difference, you know, that our Lord, you know, the nature of the Lord, the difference in his nature that we want to consider today. You know, he is not distant, not far. You know, he's not even distracted, and he cannot be delayed. You know, so think of that. Not distant, not distracted, and cannot be delayed. Now, there are, you know, there is a story in the book of, in the life of Elijah. Elijah, you know, in 1 Kings, where he was chiding the prophets of Baal and telling them, well, you know, why don't you pray a little bit more, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 18, the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He said, well, you know, you guys choose yourself a bullock and dress it. And, you know, I will also choose myself a bullock and dress it. And let's put it out there. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. You know, so he told them, well, don't put any fire under your sacrifice. Neither will I put fire under mine. We'll just pray to our gods. I mean, you pray, not to gods. You pray to your gods, he said. And I'll pray to my God. Their gods were little g, plural, perhaps many. But Elijah's God was one, the only true God. And so it came to pass that he told them to go first. And they went first. And they prophesied from, you know, noon to evening. And cut themselves. The blood gushed out. They did all kinds of things. There was no hearing, no voice, nothing. So Elijah mocked them and said, what's happening? Your God? Maybe he's sleeping. And maybe he needs to be woken up. maybe he's on a journey. And maybe he should cry louder. It's a God after all. The man just taunted them all day long. I could just see Elijah stretching out on the ground. Maybe he had a rock behind his head, just put his head down, back, and just stretched across his legs, you know, cross his hands behind his neck. I could just see him right now. I can see him right now. A little, you know, just a little grin on his face. I said, well, you know, when these people did everything they could, Elijah said, well, are you done? You know, and their gods could not answer them. Their gods perhaps needed to be woken up. Their gods were perhaps distant. And maybe he was on a journey. Their gods were perhaps, you know, distracted. Maybe he was busy on the phone or busy with something, you know, busy with doing something else. He didn't have any phone in those days, but maybe busy on something else. But Elijah knew that his own God was not a God that's afar off. You know, it's not a God that, you know, is distracted. You have to scream and yell because he can hear he's distracted with so many things. No. And you can't delay him too. Can you imagine how the Lord, just think about it. No matter the number of us that are in this room right now, you know, when you're praying to the Lord, it's like you're the only one that's praying to the Lord. Because he can hear you among 100 million voices. It doesn't matter. It's like you got his attention. And so can 100 million others at the same time. That's the Lord for you. You can't, there is nothing that can distract and say, oh, I'm dealing with somebody else, I'll get back to you. There's no such thing. You know, with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You know, I used to think about that when I was a young man, you know, young boy or so. How can the Lord hear everybody at the same time? Everybody. No matter how many people are in the world. Well, that's why he's God. Hallelujah. You know, and he cannot be distracted by other voices like we are distracted. There are many things that cause distraction in our lives. Yeah, God cannot be distracted. And neither can he be delayed. We'll be talking about that, you know, a little bit here. God is always present, always ready, you know, to help. Now, there's no trouble that we can be in, you know, that God cannot handle, you know, or, you know, that makes God to be intimidated. I mean, some people have tried to, you know, intimidate God or intimidate God's people, you know, say, well, you know, you better surrender to us because remember what we did to all those nations. Sennacherib and Rabshakeh, they told the people of Hezekiah, you know, we have burnt those people up, cast their gods into the fire, and if you don't surrender unto us right now, you will be like one of them. We will destroy this city and everything. We will lay it waste and so forth. It will crush your altars. And they just said everything. And you just, you try to intimidate God's people, or even try to intimidate God. You can't do it. You know, he's the almighty God. There's nothing that can shake him. There's nothing that can intimidate him. In the book of Isaiah chapter 36, those intimidations were sent out like that, you know. And people on the wall, watchmen on the wall, they told the messengers, hey, you know, what are you trying to do? Speak to us in your language. We understand it. Don't speak in our own language. We don't want these people to hear or be intimidated. People say that's exactly what we're going to do. You know, that you guys may piss in your pants. You know, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to terrify you. We're going to intimidate you. Well, God cannot be intimidated. You know, so, you know, and the people of God should know who they have in their corner. And you should never be intimidated. Well, there are times when we are actually intimidated because we are not God. And, you know, that's why, you know, when we are intimidated like that, there is something that we must remember. And that's what I want to bring to us, to our remembrance in this lesson today. You know, any time that those challenges come, you know, it doesn't mean that God is not present. You know, challenges and difficulties, these things are inevitable. There is just nothing you can do about it. David's response in Psalm 56 and verse 3 was, you know, really powerful. You know, is it that you will never be afraid because you know that God is with you? No, you will be afraid. You know, that's why Jesus was always saying, be not afraid, fear not. You know, that's why, you know, words that he always, when he came upon situations that were distressing, disheartful, and everything, would tell them, be not afraid, fear not. Because fear would always try to creep in. And once fear gets in there, there would, you know, I mean, it would, your confidence that you had, cast not therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, in that moment is gone. You know, so David said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, what time I am afraid, what will I do? Well, I will trust in thee. In thy word will I praise the Lord. You know, I will trust in thee. It is intentional. Fear will come. And fear can grip you at times, you know, because of situations. You know, there is not a person in this world that may not experience that from time to time. That's why God always also had encouragement. You know, he will say to Isaiah, fear not, I will help thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I am with thee. You know, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41 and 10. I mean, he will say these things. And then when fear actually came and situations occurred that would have caused the man to be afraid and to be dismayed, then he would remind himself of what the Lord said. He said, you know, the Lord said, he will help me. So when the Lord told him, this was Isaiah 41 and 10. Yeah, you can read 41 and 10. You can read the things that the Lord told him there. He said, look, I will help thee. I'm going to help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Be not dismayed, because I'm with thee. I am thy God. You know, I will be with you, and so forth. I mean, the Lord gave him comforting words, and he gave those words, kept those words in his heart, gave them also to, you know, the children of Israel. You know, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, you know, and so forth. They shall be as nothing. They that strive against thee shall perish. I mean, you cannot prevent people from being incensed against you. You can't do it. You cannot prevent people from striving against you. You can't do it. You know, they shall surely gather together against you. But not by me, said the Lord. All that gather against you shall fall for thy sake. I mean, the Lord begins to give us this promise. But these things will happen. Trouble is inevitable. You know, trouble from within, fears without, all these things are inevitable. But the Lord said, you know, you will even look for them, you will not find it. They that contended with you, they that war against you shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, and I will say unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. Fear not. You know, I will help thee, saith the Lord. Even thy God, even thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord told him all these things. So when trouble came, he remembered. And then he said in Isaiah 50 and verse 7, you know, the Lord God will help me. Because he already said so. Therefore will I not be confounded. I will not be dismayed. You know, because the Lord told him that. He said, you know, it is your enemies that will be, you know, confounded and ashamed, but not you. And then he said, what? So he reminded himself, I will not be confounded. Therefore will I set my face as a flint, because I know I will not be ashamed, because the Lord said so. But the fact that these things will be incensed against you, those will happen. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't control external circumstances. We can only control our response. And so, you know, God will be present. Trouble, you know, only activates his help. Think of it that way. Because Psalm 46:1 says, our God is a refuge, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, and present means he's there. Not only that he will send somebody, but he's there himself. And I'll show you cases where he can send somebody to, you know, or send angels or send whatever he wants. But, you know, most of the time he's right there with us. Even when he sends somebody, he's still there with you. Now, trouble is inevitable, but so is also God's help. You know, here are some scriptures that tell us that, look, our life may be full of troubles at times, you know, but what is God's response and what is our response? You know, Job chapter 14 verse 1 says, man is of few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. I mean, just think about it. Look at your own life too. There's a lot of things. There are times that God will give us rest, you know, from every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. Solomon said that one time. But most times there's all kinds of things. It doesn't even matter, you know, whether you are doing right or doing wrong. You know, trouble can come. Job was doing right. Even God was bragging about him. You know, as thou seen my servant Job, that there is none like him, you know, in all the earth, a man that loves the Lord and feareth the Lord and escheweth evil, walks in the integrity of his heart. I mean, God was bragging about this man. But yet trouble came, you know. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalm 34 and verse 19. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. See, there's always a response. Jesus himself said in John 16 and 33, you know, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. So we're always going to have these tribulations. Now, when we have trouble, we don't think of it as a sign that God is absent. Because he said God is a very present help in trouble. Now, let the scriptures be true. Let every situation be a lie. That's right. In the situation that you are in, that situation will speak to you Our situations speak to us. The situation that you are in will speak to you, like Sennacherib and Rab Shakeh spoke to the people. That was their situation, you know. You know, there was a man called Goliath, and he came, you know, and he spoke to the people every day. He said, oh, well, why are you all trying to, there's no need for all of us to fight, our armies and your armies. Choose a champion, one for each side. I will represent my side. You send me somebody from your side. Only two of us need to be in the conflict. You know, and if the man can kill me, then all our armies will surrender to you. But if I kill him, then all your armies must surrender to us. You know, and he rubbed it in their faces. Your situation, your trouble will speak, you know, volumes to you. You know, that will create fear and intimidation. Yeah, but God himself cannot be intimidated. And the Goliath intimidated them every day because of his towering size and his huge stature over all the people. And he intimidated them like that. You know, you can read all that story in 1 Samuel 17. But, you know, the people did not, instead of putting their trust in the Lord, they didn't. You know, until one young boy came along, everybody put their trust in their experience. We can't go up against this guy. He's more experienced than us. He's a man of war. I mean, we heard of all his exploits throughout all the region and all the things that he had done. Nobody could ever fight this man. That's what they thought. Because, you know, but when Moses, David came though, this man, you know, and he asked the young man, what's going on? He said, well, this man here continually defies the armies of Israel every day, intimidating us. And nobody's ready to stand up to the man. Look at his size. Look at all the things that we heard about it. They said, armies of Israel. Well, David said, armies of the living God. Big difference. You know, these people thought, well, this man has come here to disgrace the armies of Israel. David said, no. This man has come here to blaspheme the armies of the Lord. So David is already elevating the fight into the spiritual level. And he knows. And he remembered, you know, the hand of the Lord that was upon him when he kept sheep. I mean, David was a man that did things that was not done. I mean, the shepherds were never in the wilderness by themselves because you can't fight off those animals by yourself. They were always in groups. But his father sent him there by himself. You know, remember even in the days of Jesus when he was about to be born, the Bible said the shepherds were keeping their flocks in the fields by night. They were always a group. And the angel of the Lord came upon them and so on, told them the news. Always in a group. David was all there by himself. He was despised, even as a young man. Sent him out there. All the brothers went to, you know, to battle and so forth. David was the only one by himself in the wilderness. But David learned many things. You know, he learned that when trouble came and trouble was speaking to you, you know, trouble is intimidating you, well, God's right there with you. The lion came and took what he had. The bear came and took of what he had. But the Lord, his God, was with him. And he would not back down. He knew that trouble was not a sign of God's absence. He knew that the trouble that he faced in the moment and that the trouble that was speaking to him, fear, you see, your trouble will speak to you fear and intimidation. You know, and try to wear you down like that. Wear down your confidence. He knew it was an opportunity for God to reveal his power. Glory to God. The deliverance is guaranteed for the righteous. No? Said the Lord delivereth him out of them all. David said in Psalm 18 and verse 6, I cried unto the Lord. My cry came before him. The Lord answered me, he said to me. And the Lord, always giving the invitation out, said to Jeremiah, call unto me, I will answer thee. You know, Proverbs 11:21 says, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You know, your cry will not be ignored. God hears. His ear is attuned. Praise the Lord. And when we are crying to the Lord, and something else I want to say about that too, crying unto the Lord is not an indication of weakness. You cry unto the Lord. And David said, I cried unto the Lord in my distress. Well, it's faith in action, really. That's the way I think of it. Cry unto the Lord. Whatever situation we are going through, if we cry unto the Lord, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily in despair. Make sure your cry is a cry of faith and not a cry of despair. Some people cry with despair in their voices. Others people cry with faith, reaching out to the Lord. Now, which one is it for you? How is your cry transmitted to heaven? Sometimes even people, are grumbling and everything, when they're supposed to be praying, just grumbling, before the Lord, instead of crying. They that sow in tears, Psalm 126, this sowing in tears, I preached some lesson called, your tears of faith, we turn into a harvesting of joy. It's tears of faith. It's not tears of distress. So when we call upon the Lord, it's also not necessarily because, we've allowed, fear to overwhelm us. No. Be not afraid, I am with you. Hallelujah. I shall not be confounded, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God says all those things to us. Crying unto the Lord is really a sign of faith, not a sign of weakness. Here's God's promise of his presence, a very present help in trouble and in time of need. No matter what you are going through, whatever your trouble is speaking to you, volumes coming at you, waves. He said, the waves come against me every way. But the Lord is even stronger than those. The Lord said, when thou passest through the waters, glory to God, Isaiah 43:2. Now, notice that it doesn't say if. He says when. So it's going to happen. You can't avoid it. There's not a man that can say, well, I walk in the integrity of my heart every day because I walk in the integrity of my heart, because I praise the Lord 7 times a day, because I do this and that. Therefore there shall no evil befall me. Well, that's a promise. But evil will come. It just means that you use those scriptures to encourage yourself. So we love to think that evil will not come. And it's a great thing if evil doesn't come. Sometimes God will grant that. Grant you a time of rest, a time of refreshing, but there are times when evil will come. Not because you did wrong. That's just the way life is. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, every one of us will experience, prosperity and adversity. We talked about light and darkness, a series we just concluded. There'll be times when you are up and down. In the time of prosperity, you rejoice. In the time of adversity, you consider that God has put them side by side. There's nothing you can do about it. It'll come just as sure as the night will come and the day will come. Those cycles are there to teach us a continuous lesson. You cannot be on the mountaintop all the time. And neither should you remain in the valley. It is what it is. The Lord will get you through it. But he said, look, when you pass through the fire, I'll be right there with you. But you will experience those fires. And those fires will speak volumes of fear to you. But the Lord said, I'll be there. I'll be with you. Hallelujah. I will be with you in those moments. Whatever you are going through, I will be with you. even when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, I'll be there with you as well. The flame shall not kindle upon you. Some key words that we notice there is, I will be with you. That's right. So the Lord is present even while you're going through. Another key word there is through. Through means getting out on the other side. Thou art with me, Psalm 23, verse 4. No matter where I go, even when I pass through, again, that's through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, you already know, you know, even while you're in there, that you're coming out on the other side. You know it, because the Lord is with you. You know, a man that is in despair and, you know, loss of his confidence, lost his confidence in the Lord, would say, you know, I am in trouble and I'm going into the valley of the shadow of death. Into is a dead end. But David said, no, I'm walking through. Because he already knows he's coming out on the other side. Do you know that you're coming out on the other side? God, you know, these scriptures tell us that, you know, God is not only going to send help. He can, but he'll be there with you himself. Praise the Lord. You know, we read the story of the friends of Daniel when they were cast into the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, and in chapter 3 of Daniel. You know, finally, you know, as the story went, you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar saw somebody there. He said, he looked like the Son of God. the Lord was right there with them, you know, or it could have been an angel that he sent. Some people used to think angelic forms are the Son of God, but they didn't know what to call them in the olden days. He either sent his angel, he was there with them, but one way or another, was there with them in that trouble, you know. Even Daniel said the Lord sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions. So the Lord will be there with you. He won't just leave you alone. God's presence will bring us peace. You know, peace. And I've often talked about peace. Peace is not always just the absence of trouble. That's one definition of peace. But God's peace is even in the midst of the trouble. That's right. You know, even in the midst of the trouble. I mean, and Jesus, that's the way he described the peace that he gives us. John, 14 and, verse 27, he says those things, you know, that God, how he gives us, you know, my peace I leave with you, you know, and so on. Not as the world gives. The way God, the world gives peace, which is not lasting peace, is when there is no fighting. You know, when there is no rumor of war, when they sign an agreement of peace, which is one side lying to the other side most of the time. And that's their own kind of peace. But Jesus' peace is real peace, even in the midst of all of that. Like it says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious or careful for nothing. You know, don't let fear overwhelm you. The fear that the situation speaks, don't let it overwhelm you. Let the confidence that the scripture brings, you know, speak higher than that. You know, he that is in you, you know, we're told, is the victory that overcomes the world. He that is in you, greater than he that is without. Now, there's something that is without. There's no question about that. The trouble that is without is real. We're not trying to make light of it. It's real. But 1 John chapter 4 says, you know, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's right. What is in us is greater, you know, than what is in the world. And this is the victory that we have. The victory that overcometh the world is our faith. You know, that, and that's what's on the inside. It's a victory that we have. Now, when God said, I'll be with you, and he's there, he can send help, he can come himself, he sends his word. I mean, these are all the things that God will do for you when you're in trouble. He will come to you himself. You know, he said, oh, even he's already there with you. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 says, it is the Lord thy God that doth go with thee. Verses 6 and 8. Deuteronomy 31. Remember that the Lord thy God is the one that is going with you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will not abandon you. That's right. He's physically there and emotionally there. That's the difference between, leave and forsake. You know, he will not leave you. That means he's physically there with you. He will not forsake you. He's got your back. Even when you can't see him, he will not abandon you. The Lord thy God is he that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, and he will not forsake thee. He told him that in verse 6. He told him that in verse 8 again too. You know, I said, the Lord, he is he that doth go before thee. He shall be with thee. That's what, later on they would quote in the epistles and say, you know, he will never forsake thee nor leave thee. They're quoting these verses out of Deuteronomy. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake you. He will never leave you. He's always going with you. Therefore, be not afraid. Neither be dismayed. These are the confidence. The Lord will be with you. The Lord can also send his word. Glory to God. He sent his word and he healed them. You know, Psalm 107 verse 20. But he has given that word to us now. That means you go find that word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. When you think you are in darkness, well, think again. Word of God will shine upon your ways. You know, praise the Lord. We live by the word of God. Matthew 4 and 4. He said what? You know, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus was quoting the scriptures, out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 3. The Lord humbled thee, he said, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, so that you may know, and so forth, like man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus quoting it. So the word of God is another attribute. Remember I said I'll be talking about the attributes of God, you know, that we can count on when we are in trouble and when we are in need. It's always there for us. Those are the attributes. He will never leave you. He'll send you his word. You know, what time I'm afraid, I would turn to the word of God, Psalmist said. You know, the Lord can send his angels, just like we saw already, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Psalm 91 verse 11 says the same thing. He will give his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways. Hebrews 1 and 14 tells us the secret. These angels, they are commissioned. You know, ministering spirits sent to help believers. Glory to God. It's not just Daniel. It's not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's you too. Praise God. You know, he that is with you, they that are with you, they are more than they that are against you. You know, sometimes we think that we are outnumbered. But you're never outnumbered. You know, Elijah could have thought that he was outnumbered. There were 400 prophets of the group, you know, and another 400 or so prophets of Baal, and more than that, actually, maybe about 850, all of them. But Elijah was only one. But he was not outnumbered. You know, some people say one with God is the majority. Well, you know, the Lord will never allow you to be outnumbered. And there are so stories in the Bible that tell us that, you know, the story that I just shared with you of Elijah, and even the other stories, you know, like in the story of Elisha, the prophet, in 2 Kings, you know, chapter 6, powerful, powerful statement. You know, the king of, you know, sent to Syria or whatever, sent to capture him, sent armies and so forth. You know, because he was, the king was told that, look, I mean, because every time they planned something against Israel, their plans were foiled. And kings one day said, look, you know, who is the spy that we have here? You know, that's always telling our secrets. Because every plan that we plan, somebody else, I mean, these people know it. And somebody told him, he said, there's nobody that's a spy here. Nobody's a double agent. Nobody's telling your secret. There is a man in Israel. It's a prophet. Everything you speak in your room, he's hearing it. So, really? Who is this man? I told him, said, well, go get him. So, they went to get him and sent a multitude of soldiers to get him. And Elisha's servant said, oh, rush to wake him up. Master, master, wake up. You know, these people have come to take us and to kill us. Elisha got up and said, hey, what's happening? He said, what do you mean, what's happening? Look at all the people that come to get us, the armies, and so forth. Man said, well, don't worry about it. They that are with us are more than they that are over there. And they that are with us, who's with us? I don't see anybody here with us except these donkeys. Because his eyes, he could not see what Elisha was seeing. And then Elisha said, well, I tell you what, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he will see those that are with us. So you can never be outnumbered. And you may not see. And that, you know, sometimes the Lord may open your eyes to see, but, you know, most times we don't see. But whether you see or don't see, you should know that you cannot be outnumbered. You know, fear not, he told him. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. I mean, some of these prophets are so powerful. I mean, they can beseech the Lord in one moment. And the Lord will just do it. Open his eyes so that he can see. And the Lord opened his eyes. See, that was grace that was upon Elisha. The anointing that was upon him to see into the spirit realm by prayer, he conferred it upon the man. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. And the man saw. And then, my goodness, chariots of fire. They were there. They were just not visible. You know, it looked as if they were outnumbered. Elisha said, no. You know, how can you be cool in a moment like this? The man told him, they are here to kill us. Said, well, that's because I see something that you may not see. That's the difference. You can never be outnumbered. Glory to God. God has angelic intervention for you, waiting for you. You know, chariots of fire and so forth. Horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Round about Elisha. You know, it wasn't round about anybody, but round about Elisha. And when the man saw, you know, he said, wow. Yeah. So you cannot be outnumbered. God will always bring you help. Praise the Lord. He'll bring you out of trouble too. Let's read some scriptures. These are some more of God's attributes when we are in trouble. You know, again, they are called his attributes, you know, for us when we are in trouble. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. David said, well, I waited patiently unto the Lord. I cried upon him too, and the Lord heard my cry, brought me out of an horrible pit. Horrible pit. You know, sometimes when we fall into trouble, the more you struggle, the more you sink. It's like when you are in quicksand. You are in quicksand, they tell you that, you know, don't struggle because you just sink even more. Stand still and see the salvation. If somebody tried to throw you, you know, a lifeline and you are struggling, you will be sinking even more. That's just, you know, you know, the friction and the movement, you know, drills a hole and you will go in even deeper. You know, wait, and the Lord pull you out. Said the Lord brought me out of a horrible pit, put my feet on the rock, keep something wonderful in my mouth. I can sing the glory of the Lord. I can see the salvation of the Lord. God will not leave you. He'll send you help. You know, Exodus chapter 14. And Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh charging down on him and so forth. Finally, they got up against the Red Sea. It seemed like there was nowhere to go. Pharaoh is like, yeah, I got you right where I want you now. Looks at Moses. Yeah, Moses is separated from, Moses and his group separated from them through the pillar of fire. And, you know, say, your God is a poor general. You have nowhere to go. I got you. And this fire can't hold us forever. The fire will go out and will come. Yeah, they thought it was just some fire like that. The fire that God put there. And then when the Lord had made sure that the children of Israel put that fire there so the horses couldn't charge through. And when the Lord made sure the children of Israel were clean crossed over, and he removed the fire and suckered them in. And you know, the man is still thinking, yeah, yeah, I'm going to kill all of you today. Moses said to them, stand still, before they even got in through, you know, through that water when they were afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which the Lord will show you this day. Because all these Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more after today. Moses was confident. He knew it too. Now, the children of Israel, they've never seen any such thing, you know, I mean, before, you know, but they saw it on that day. David knew, I mean, sorry, Moses, he knew it, that the Lord was going to do it, because the Lord spoke to him. He said, you know, you will see the salvation of the Lord. This is the same thing that the prophet told Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 and 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. You will hold your peace and the Lord will fight for you. You know, so sometimes, you know, the Lord will fight for you directly himself. Sometimes the way he fights for you, send an angel on your behalf, whatever, you know, when the Lord would respond to Hezekiah's prayer, after Hezekiah prayed one of the most powerful prayers that I ever heard in that Bible, because he made it God's fight. See, that's the thing. That's what made it so powerful. He said, look, what these people are saying is true. Of a truth, they have laid those nations waste and they have cast their gods into the fire because they were no gods. But thou art the very God. Thou art the one that seated between the beams of the cherubims. And he began to tell God how great he is. And you tell God how great he is, God will respond to show you how great he is. So, you know, after he told God, and then he said something so powerful. He said, Lord, save us from his hand. Not that our land not be destroyed, which is good. Not that our wives not become widows, which is good. Not that our children should not become fatherless, which is good. But that all the people may know that thou art the God, the very God. Now, when you make it God's fight like that, you know, it's not about the trouble that is speaking fear to you today. Well, yeah, let it speak. But you speak confidence yourself with the word of the Lord. You know, and you say, Lord, deliver me from this situation that the people may know. And before the people may know, you've already testified that God, our God, will come and save us. Open your mouth in the midst of the trouble. Say it. You know, Revelation 12:11 says, they spoke in the midst of their trouble. They used their word of their testimony while the battle was raging hot. They did not wait until after, you know, they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. That means it was a weapon. They used it during the fight. They said, look, God will save me out of this situation. They said it. You know, and then the Lord, he will stand. When you tell God like that, he will stand up. And the Lord stood up. He sent, all the Lord did was just send one of these strong angels, you know, So some of these angels, they are prepared for battle. For a day, for a month, for an hour, for a time, whenever. You know, they are trained. They are ready to go. One angel went through, you know, the camp of their enemies. 185,000 laid them dead in one night. That's God for you. God will fight for you. You make it God's fight. And say, Lord, there is none that can deliver, you know, like you. I already spoke that you are going to deliver me. Therefore, show the people that you are the God that can deliver after this sort. And God, you know, when you tell God something great about himself, how do you think he responds? He responds back to you, tell you that great thing and show you that great thing about himself. It takes revelation for you to understand it. But when you understand it, you know, and then you say it to him, he will answer back. A secret place of thunder, he said. Listen to this. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 17, Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you to do. This is what Jeremiah said to the Lord. He said it, and the Lord heard it. And then the Lord came back and told him exactly what he said. In verse 27, the Lord said the same thing that Jeremiah just said. What the Lord came to him, I am the Lord. Jesus said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say true, because so I am. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This is what Jeremiah already said. God is coming back to affirm it to him. So when you tell God how great he is, he will come back and show you how great he is. That's it. If you tell God you are a God that delivereth out of trouble, God will come back and show you that I am the God that delivered out of trouble. He will show it to you. You know, that's it. Ezekiah told it to him, and he flexed his arms and showed that you say you think I'm great. I'm going to show you something. You know, the right hand of my power. You know, and he will show it to you because he is great. Hallelujah. And he will pull you out of that trouble. He will deliver you too. Jeremiah said, look, that the God of all flesh, there's nothing too hard for you. What is the fear? What is your fear, saith the Lord? What is the trouble that's keeping you up at night, that's speaking fear to you and discouragement to your heart? I am the Lord that saveth thee. That's right. God will save you. You know, and this trouble doesn't mean he's absent. He's very, very present. Glory to God. He is present. You know, sometimes his deliverance can be gradual. And sometimes it can be sudden. And God can, you know, our God specializes in impossible situations. Impossible for us. There's no such thing with him. If you tell God, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. That's what Jeremiah said. You can use your own words. Maybe impossible is the word you want to use. Well, Lord, I know there is nothing impossible for you. Then God is going to come back and tell you, there is nothing impossible for me. I'm going to show it to you too. You know, now, anytime God has shown you some greatness in the past, you remind him of that greatness and he will show you even more. This is how it works. He told Jeremiah 33:3, he said, look, call unto me. I will show you even greater things, which you haven't seen yet. I've shown you some stuff. You knew that I'm the God of all flesh, and I've shown you something. I'm going to show you even more things. That's right. You know, and God will be there with you. There are some battles that you cannot fight on your own. God will fight for you. You know, you know, Jehoshaphat said, he said, look, these armies are too great for us. I mean, there are three armies. Each of the armies were greater than them, let alone three combined. Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab. And he said, look, these armies are too great for us. And then, you know, see how they repaid us now. You told us to leave them alone. You told our fathers to leave them alone. See how they now repaid us, coming against us. He said, but our eyes are upon you. See, that was the secret. The man said, we have no might to go up against this company, but our eyes are upon you. Now, when you turn your eyes to the Lord, when fear is speaking to you out of your troubles, you turn your eyes unto the Lord. That's the beginning of your deliverance right there. Don't be looking to your strength. You know, look to the Lord. You know, look to the Lord. He said, all these things, how in the world are we going to do it? All these people, how in the world are they going to, how can we fight against them? But he said, look, but our eyes are upon you. And when he said that, and the Lord even said, look, we don't know what to do. We have no might upon these people and so forth. And all our little ones, all our children and so on. We don't know what to do. The eyes are upon you. When you say that, then the Lord will show you. Let's read some of the prayer of Jehoshaphat. He was like, Hezekiah also. He said, look, art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel and gave it to Abraham, thy friend, forever? he told him. He said, are you not God that did this? Have you not done these great things in the past? And are you not the one that said, look, if when judgment and evil comes and famine and so forth, if we turn, did not just, servant, Solomon pray these prayers? That when affliction comes on us and we spread our hands inside this house and call upon your name, that thou will hear from heaven. And we began to remind God these things, And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou would not let your people destroy, came through their land. But see now how they reward us. He said, look, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. See, that's it. He did an assessment of the situation. See, can read that in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. An assessment of the situation spoke volumes of fear to their heart. But there was something, this Jehoshaphat man, he knew the Lord. There's always something in him, And he said, look, even though we're completely overwhelmed, outnumbered, see, that's what he thought. God will never allow you to be outnumbered. He said, but our eyes are upon you. That's what he said. We don't know how to respond to these people. We have no might against this great company that come up against us, and we know what not to do. We don't even know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. That's the secret. The beginning of your deliverance is for you to turn your eyes to the Lord. And he did. And then he stood before the Lord, and all the people followed suit. And he stretched his hands and he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord told him, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Be not afraid. See, God had to get that fear out of there. Now, the fear is real. The situation that is speaking fear against you is real. The situation that's speaking discouragement against you is real. Very real. But God is even more real. Our God is a very present help. He's in you. He that is in you is greater. And right there in you, And even if you have sickness inside of you, the Lord is in you as well. He'll cast it out. He'll get it out there. I will remove sickness from the midst of you, which means either from among you or from inside of you, meaning both ways. You'll get it out of there. The Lord will fight for you even when you can't fight for yourself. And these people experienced it. The Lord will give you peace even in the midst of trouble. These are some of the attributes of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. Yeah, stay your eyes, put your eyes on him, give you peace. Peace in the midst of trouble. He said, peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, cast your prayers upon him with thanksgiving. Don't be too anxious. Don't let fear drive your mind crazy. Call upon the Lord with thanksgiving. And, you know, don't be discouraged. Don't panic. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. And the peace of God. I pass it on the stand. He didn't say God will remove the trouble in this particular place. In some places, he said God will take care of the trouble. In this one, he said, well, he will give you peace. So, God will come in many ways. He will get peace over that situation. And this is the peace that Jesus offers, which the world cannot give you. The world cannot have peace in the midst of trouble. They can only have peace when there's no trouble. But that's the world's peace. You know? And, but Jesus said, no, even in the midst of trouble, even when all things are blowing up around you, cataclysmic upheavals and different things, overswelling of Jordan and all of that, in the middle of all of it all, Jesus gives you peace. Peace, you know, in the midst of trouble. The Lord said, I'll keep in perfect peace. Peace that passes understanding. He didn't necessarily say he will remove the problem. But verse 7 in Philippians 4 says, he will give you peace through it. While you are going through, he will give you peace. Now, there were times, you know, that God gave his people rest. Asa, in one time of his reign, 10 or 15 years, he had rest, you know, and Solomon, David fought a lot of battles. Solomon, on his side, you know, in his own way, had, you know, rest many years. You know, he said, look, God has given us rest. You know, there is no adversary and no evil occurrence. You know, finally said. You can find that in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. He said, made a statement of the peace and the stability and the quietness and the time of refreshing that God had given him. You know, contrast that with David, who was always fighting, running for his life and so forth. Well, Solomon said, well, you know, blessed be the Lord, my God, you know, who has given me rest on every side so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. I mean, God can do that too. You know, he may choose to do it that way, remove and give you a time of refreshing so that there is no evil around you. But in the midst of evil, he can also give you peace. You know, these are all the things that the Lord does. And, God helps you through others as well. You know, can help you himself, can send his word, can send the angel of the Lord, can help you through others. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 say, bear ye one another's burdens. That's right. You know, so when we get up in there, you know, story of Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' hands, when you get up in there, help somebody, you know, you can lighten the burden. Moses couldn't do it alone. And, you know, when his hands were weary, they were losing the fight. And they got on under him, you know. And Jethro told Moses that too. Say, look, you can't do this alone. You know, you're going to kill everybody. You're going to kill yourself, wear everybody out. Can you sit here all day long judging all these people all by yourself? Every little thing, every brief thing, and, you know, word of the Lord, you have to tell them and all these things. So look, you're both going to kill yourself and wear everybody weary. I'm going to give you advice. And if the Lord tell you so, then do it. You know, consider it as good advice. And told him. He said, look, you take care of the big things, you know, and so on. But the little things and all of that, you know, set up people to handle it. You know, Exodus 18 and 18. Thou will surely wear away both thou and these people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now, hearken to my voice, and I'll give you advice. And he told him. So sometimes God will help us through others. Sometimes he'll help you by himself. You know, sometimes he'll help you to find comfort in his word. Sometimes he'll send the angel of the Lord. I mean, every which way, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me quickly talk about God never being late. God never being late, and God is not powerless in your situation. The best story for that is the one that you all know in John chapter 11. You know, we know that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Jesus. He visited them and so forth. And then one day when Lazarus was sick unto death, he was really sick, was dying. Jesus was nowhere close by, but they sent messengers to him. They found out where he was and they sent message after him. His sister stayed. Your friend, Lazarus. So they tried to appeal to that, you know, relationship. Your friend, Lazarus, is sick. I told him that. And when Jesus had heard that Lazarus was sick, we are told he abode 2 more days in the same place where he was. I mean, why would you do that? Your friend is sick. Why not just rush there and go and heal the man, or even speak the word? Jesus could have spoken the word. He didn't even need to go. One man already told Jesus, he said, look, all you have to do is speak the word. Jesus knew he could do it, but he chose not to do it. You know, and he remained 2 more days. He didn't even go. I mean, they were already, 2 days or so journey away from Bethany, where these people lived. And it could have been that, you know, if Jesus started going back quickly, he would get there maybe in 2 days. But he waited the 2 days that would have taken him to get there. So now, it's going to take him even longer because, I mean, the man would have been sick longer. I mean, and so Jesus waited, and the man got worse and worse and worse, and then finally he died. But while the man was dying, Jesus made this statement to the disciples, said, this sickness is not unto death. The disciples heard it, but they didn't know what he meant. So the judge meant that, well, you know, he's going to recover from it. That's what that statement meant in their mind, just went their way. Then later on, Jesus, knowing that Lazarus was dead, nobody came to tell him, but he knew it. But they didn't know the other things. He now says to them, 2 days, another 2 days have gone by and everything. The man is finally dead. Jesus now says to his disciples, say, hey, our friend Lazarus is dead. You know. But let me go there and wake him. I mean, it's like, you know, actually, he didn't say dead. He said sleepeth. That's what he said. Our friend Lazarus is sleeping. And let me go and wake him. Sleeping, not dead. And then the disciples said, well, the man is sleeping. It'll be fine. What we got to go wake him up for? He'll wake up. He's just sleeping. Because they thought he was talking about taking rest in sleep. So Jesus had to use their language. As far as Jesus was concerned, you know, the man was only sleeping. But in the language of the people, so that they would understand it, he had to speak it in their language. Say, well, okay, that man is dead. The man is dead. But you said, this sickness is not the death. Some of them remembered it, but they were probably afraid to ask him, what in the world did you mean by that? Didn't you say that this sickness was not unto death? But now you tell us that the man is dead, and now you say we are going to him. We could have gone to him when the man was sick. And they're thinking this thing in their head. Well, so were his sisters thinking the same thing in their head. We called to Jesus, he never came. I thought he was our friend. He visited us when things were good. Now when we're in a crisis, we call him and he didn't come. They're thinking these things. This is what people think. I call on God, he doesn't show up. But God doesn't make mistakes. And God is never late. And Jesus is going to show them. And he just told the disciples, look, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Because if I would have been there, I would have healed the man. And I would have, you know, raised him out of his sick bed. And he would not have died. But Jesus hadn't shown them this side of himself. They've seen him heal somebody who just recently died. They've seen him heal somebody who was being carried into only a casket and bring them to life. But they haven't seen him call somebody out of the grave yet. They've never seen that. And Jesus was going to show them that. You know, that they can see the glory of God. He can call somebody, raise them from their sick bed, get them out of the casket, get them out of the grave, it's all the same to Jesus. And we're going to show them that. And they hadn't seen it. So he showed it to them. And when he arrived, Martha said, now you show up. when the man was crying, all the wailers are now here with us. We have spent money buying the coffin, getting the grave and everything. And the man is dead. We buried him. He's now 4 days in the grave. He's stinking now. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. If you can only believe, that will see the glory of God. And you know the end of the story. You know, so Jesus wasn't late. It was by design. That's the thing I want you to understand. There is a design. There is something behind it that we don't understand. And who has been the instructor of the Lord or known the Lord's mind to instruct him or been his counselor to direct him? You can't do it. There are things you don't know. I mean, who are you? You're just this. I mean, the Lord is the Ancient of Days. Before you were born, there were thousands of years, perhaps 6,000 to 7,000 years, even in human reality. And before that, there were thousands of years before that too. So what is it that you know that you think you know it all? There's something. Our prayer is that God will save us from evil. You know, that we will not experience evil. But when evil comes, well, then, you know, you got to embrace the power of God to deliver you out of it. And he will too. And Jesus wasn't late. He just showed them. He wanted to show them something. They asked the Lord, this man that was born blind, John chapter 9. He was born blind, you know. Was it his sin or his parents' sins that made him be born blind? Jesus said no. It really wasn't his sins. Neither was it his parents. Well, why then was he born blind, they said. I mean, you know, and this man is 40 years old now. Why did he go through all this? If he didn't sin and the parents didn't sin to cause it. Jesus said, well, that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Wow. You know, the first time I read that scripture, I could not comprehend it. For years, I couldn't stomach it. It took me a long time to figure it out. Are you kidding me? This man had to suffer for 40 years so that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Is there no other way for the works of God to be made manifest? You know, but he is God. We are the clay in his hands and his potter. He said, cannot the clay be made any way? The potter can do anything he wants with the clay. You know? Yeah. So who are we that we should reply? Who has thou that replies against God? You know? And he's never late. He has his reasons, which we may not understand. Lord, show me, teach me thy way that I may know thee. Help me to understand the reason behind this affliction. And what are you trying to teach me? What lesson am I supposed to learn in this situation that bringing fear to my heart? I know you're there with me. And, you know, we need to be, you know, relating to God more like that instead of standing aloof and grumbling and complaining and so forth and thinking that God abandoned. God never will abandon you. He never will do that. He said that himself. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's it. Point blank. So when it seems as if he left you and it seemed as if he has forsaken you, well, think again, because he said, I will never do it. Now, so it may be that our sins have separated us from our God so that he doesn't hear. And that's another thing. But John chapter 9 clearly told us that it wasn't this man's sins. So every time people get into trouble, you cannot blame it on some evil thing they did. That's not always the case. Job wasn't some evil thing he did. This man in John chapter 9 wasn't evil something he did. Nor even yet his parents. It was stuff that God was working out. And we don't understand it. You know, so if we are, you know, we are in God's plans like that. God's working something out we don't understand. We got to trust him through the process. Some people say, trust the process. I say, no. You can't trust the process. Trust God through the process. That's right. Just like people say, you know, follow your heart. And I said, no, you can't follow your heart. Can you follow your heart? Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, your heart is wicked. I mean, deceitful and desperately wicked. How can you follow your heart? Follow the word of God. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our exhortation today. God is very present for you in trouble. He will send you help one way or another. He will never leave you. He will not even forsake you. Physically, he will not leave you. Emotionally, he will not forsake you. He'll be there. He'll got your back. Even when it looks like he doesn't have your back. Even when you can't see him. Elisha's servant couldn't see the deliverance that was at hand. But it's there, even though you can't see it. Praise God. And in due time, he will reveal it. God doesn't always show his hand at first. But he's got the ace up his sleeves. Think about that. You know, may not show his hand initially, but he's always got the ace. God will always have one more move. You cannot back God into a corner and think, yeah, your general, your God is a poor general. I got you now. Look at you. He brought you out. Look at him. He brought you out. And now he has nowhere to take you. I'd never do that to my armies. And I know how to navigate them. God showed him. Was suckering him in. You can never back God into a corner. And you are a child of God. There's always one more thing that God will do to save the day. There was a woman, you know, who was, you know, dying because of the famine that Elijah had brought upon the land. But she was crying to the Lord, you know, and she had her last meal that she was about to prepare. And that's it. She was just going to embrace her son, eat it, and they were going to die. And God told Elijah, before all of that, I said, go dwell by the brook. I'm going to send ravens. And so I drank from the brook, and God sent ravens. And then the Lord heard this woman's cry. That's right. The Lord heard that woman's heart and said, well, I'm going to save this woman. But God is going to do it, you know, by causing the brook to dry up where Elijah was at, you know. So the Lord had told Elijah, the brook is now dry. Get up and go someplace. Somebody, you know. Elijah thought that the woman was going to sustain her, him, but he also sustained the woman by the word of the Lord. It was a two-for-one situation. And when the woman, when he found there, Elijah didn't know anything about it, neither did the woman. But the Lord gave Elijah a hint. When he got there, saw the woman, and I said, ah, that must be the woman. He said, do something. The woman said, I'm about to die. This is my last meal. Elijah said, nobody is dying today. Hallelujah. No, see, it doesn't matter where you are, distant, far off. God's always thinking of you. God had a way, one move, one last move. This woman said, it's over. This is it. I'm going to die. God said, no, not today and not for many days, you know. And when the devil's got you in a corner, God always has an answer. There was another one in the Second Kings, story of the Shunammite woman. I love that story. I mean, that one too, but there was also the widow woman. Let me say, talk about that. The widow woman, who her husband had died and so forth, and she couldn't pay her bills. And Elisha said, well, what do you have? I said, well, nothing but oil. This is a little pot. And Elisha told her what to do. See, she thought it was over. I'm going to take my sons. God said, no. God always has one more move. Always the ace up his sleeve. Has that last card. You know, there's always one more move. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I'm going to pray over the room. There are many more stories I can tell. On and on and on like that. But you get the point. I'm going to pray for you to be able to recognize. And each of us must pray. Help me, Lord, to recognize God's timing and God's purpose. What is God doing? You know, why is God allowing this? Why is this thing tarrying? Well, you can also pray, make no tarrying, my God. You can pray that prayer too. Because, you know, long tarrying sometimes, you know, makes the heart to be weary. And people wait and wait and wait and then they faint. That's why Jesus said, look, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And when you've been praying and praying and Jesus said, the Lord is coming to help you. Jesus said, look, when he finally shows up, Luke 18 and verse 8, will he find you still believing? Or would you have given up and run off? you know, from the presence of the Lord. Stay right there with the Lord. When the Son of Man comes to your situation finally that you've been praying for, shall he find faith? Will you still be at the point of faith? Or through your grumbling and everything, would you have turned away from God? Remember, he is never late. He'll be on time. He may look late to you, but he will be on time. Praise the Lord. And he will never leave you through the fire, through the storms, through the situations that are trying to speak fear to you. The Lord will be there. Look to his word. Look to him. Look to all the things that the Holy Spirit has told you and shown you in the past. And use that to encourage yourself for the present conflict, just like David did. The Lord delivered me from the bear and the lion. Deliver me out of this man's hand also. Father, I thank you for your children that are listening in. Thank you for the word of the Lord. We know, Isaiah said, I know that the Lord God will help me. I know it. That was his, you know, testimony, declaration of faith. What is your testimony and your declaration? Do you know? Are you persuaded that God will help you? Yeah. I know that the Lord God will help me. Yeah. And it is not with God. There's no constraint with him. Jonathan said, to save with many or with few. Doesn't matter with the Lord. He can do it, any which way. The Lord will help me. Therefore, I have set my face as a flint. Therefore, you know I will not be confounded, and I know I will not be ashamed. To God be the glory. The Lord will be with you. You will not be afraid of the terror by day or night, or the arrow that fly by day, bullets and different things. No, do not come near thee. The Lord will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. It will be your shield and your buckler. Ha! And it will remove you from terror. You will not see evil your days. Glory to God. And when evil cometh, the Lord will be there with you. Praise God. Therefore, be strong in the Lord. And the power of his might. Quit ye like men already. Don't give up. The Lord is with you. Be strong in the Lord. He will be there. Our God will come and he will save us. And the Lord will come and he will save you. To God be the glory. Now, strengthen, Lord, every man, every woman, every brother, every sister that is here in this room listening to me or listening to the replay later on. Let them know that the Lord is with them in trouble. I will be with you in trouble. Hallelujah. Psalm 81 and verse 7. Call upon me. In trouble, I will be with you and I will deliver you and I will answer you. From the secret place of thunder, he will answer you back. You know, when the word is still in your mouth, he will answer you. When you are yet speaking, he's done it. To God be the glory. But let's patiently wait for him. Wait for the salvation of the Lord, because you don't know his timing. You wait on the Lord and see what he's doing. And all things, Romans 8 and 28, will eventually work out for your good. Because you love the Lord. The good, the bad, and the ugly all mixed together, they will eventually bring out the flavor that God wanted to bring. To God be the good. Just like the chef, mix all those things up, you know, and then at the end, beautiful meal comes up. To God be the glory. The Lord will serve that meal for you too. He will bring you out of distress. He will bring you out of your troubles. He will comfort you. He will be with you. God be the glory. He's very present and he is never late. In time of need and in time of trouble, you look to him and he will answer you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.